share and to feed your flock. We pray in Jesus' name that your word will have free course and that your word will be glorified. We pray for you to anoint your word in the name of Jesus. Let the word be big. Let the word grow. Let the word multiply. Let the light of the word shine brightly this morning in the name of Jesus. Let it disperse every darkness in Jesus' name. Let not any darkness in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, in our souls overcome the word of God in the name of Jesus. But let the word of God triumph and prevail over every circumstance that stands up in our lives today in Jesus' name. Anoint the hearing, anoint the understanding in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, so the subject generally we're teaching from this book. Did you bring your book? Okay, so grab your book. We're learning why non-tithing Christians can become poor, or why they become poor, actually, and how tithing Christians can become rich. Amen. Ask your neighbor, are you a Christian? What did they say? Then ask them, say one more question. Are you a tithing Christian? What did they say? All right. Ask them, are you the type of Christian who becomes poor? Show them your book. Show them the book and show them the type of Christian who becomes poor on the back of the book. Okay. Tell them that it looks like there are some types of Christians. Poor Christians and rich Christians. You see? And we ask them, which one are you? Tell them, point it out to me on the back of my book. Which one is you? Okay. Okay. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So I want to be the type of Christian who is blessed. Amen. And who is rich and who is prosperous by the grace of God, so that I can be useful to God's work. I can support His work, not to get more clothes, not to get more handbags, not to get more shoes, you know. You don't need any more handbags. Tell your neighbor, you don't need any more handbags. It's enough. You don't need. If you are sitting by a brother, tell him your shoes are enough. Enough shoes and enough shirts. Ah. Enough. Enough. Many of you, if you don't shop even for the next 2 years, 3 years, you will not even feel it. Is it true or false? Yeah. If you don't give Macy's a dime over the next 2 years, you will not even feel it. Only Macy's will feel it. Yeah. Yes, if you cancel your Macy's card or cancel your Sears card or what other cards? Kohl's card. And J.C. Penney cards and Walmart cards and what?
Ann
Taylor cards. You see, everybody wants to give you a card because they want you to buy even when you can't afford it. Is it not amazing that you don't even have the money? They are still saying, buy it. You see, so two evils are against you. First of all, you don't even need what you're buying. And then secondly, you can't even afford what you're buying. Do you understand? And so you sink because two forces or two powers are against you. One of them is that you are making a bad decision to buy something you don't need. Do you understand? And then the second one is that you are buying something you don't need, which you can't even afford. Wow. So no wonder a lot of people end up in debt. End up working for Ann Taylor. You go to work because of Ann Taylor. Ann Taylor herself, I don't know who she is. She's probably asleep or even dead. I don't know. Is she alive? Okay. So Ann Taylor herself is probably sleeping somewhere in her apartment, and she has you running around, climbing stairs, doing different things, working for her. Do you understand? So you need to be careful with how you spend. Amen. But anyway, our subject is, we're learning, we just took a small portion of this book and we're trying to understand that segment. And I believe that another time we will go back to other aspects of the book. This is a subject you can't exhaust in just three or four sermons. Are you getting what I'm saying? But there's a small part that I really want to bring home during this feeding 5 to 7 season. And I really want us to grasp that. And if we can grasp that, I believe it's going to be a great blessing to us. Amen. So we started from verse chapter 11, that is page 90, and we were talking about the legendary wealth of Jews. Okay? And I explained to you why we are interested in the Jews. We're interested in the Jews because the Jews are Abraham's descendants, isn't it? They are Abraham's seed, according to the scriptures. Now, the scripture also says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29 that when a person is in Christ, he is also Abraham's seed. Do you understand? That means we all spiritually are grafted into Abraham's lineage. Let's read it together, everybody. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants as according to the promise. Amen. Let's read it again. And if... and as according to the promise. How many belong to Christ? Raise up your hand if you are sure you belong to Christ. Raise up your hand. Okay. So you belong to Christ. Okay. Then the Bible, not me, the Bible says you are Abraham's descendants. Hallelujah. You are Abraham's descendants. You are Abraham's descendants and heirs according to promise. Therefore, you are an inheritor of Abraham's blessings. Amen. Is there anyone who doesn't have the book or who's not holding one? I can lend you one. Okay. I just knew you wanted my book. All right. So, yes, you are Abraham's descendants and therefore Abraham's blessing are yours. Amen. Now, Abraham's blessings will not just transfer to you just because you have his spiritual genes. Do you understand? But you need to learn to think like Abraham thought. You need to learn to operate like Abraham operated, because there are reasons for blessings. Blessings don't just come on people. Amen. There are reasons for them. And when you fulfill those reasons and conditions, the blessings can't help but come upon you, isn't it? Yeah. So, same thing with Abraham's blessing. It is every says you are an heir. You get it? That means every child of God is entitled to the blessings of Abraham. But you need to walk in the things that Abraham did to activate those blessings in order to activate them also in your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So that is the situation, and that is the reason why we are studying the Jews and why we're talking about the legendary wealth of the Jews, because it affects us. Amen. It affects us. We also can become wealthy. We also can become as blessed as they are. We looked at the statistics. We saw that they are the richest group or people group in this country. Hallelujah. And indeed, all over the world where they are found, they are not among the low people of the society. They are always above, isn't it? They are always blessed. They are always doing well. And even when an evil person tried to wipe them out, you couldn't just wipe them out. Do you understand? That's a point. They were not even a nation anymore, but they still came back together. Hallelujah. So they are a blessed people. And I believe that if you start to understand the basis for their wealth and blessing and well-being, you also will begin to do well because you are Abraham's descendants. Amen. Et si vous êtes à Christ, vous êtes donc la postérité. Is it correct? I should keep going. Okay. La postérité d'Abraham. Héritiers selon la promesse. Isn't it? Yeah. You should clap for me, please. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we are trying to be héritiers selon la promesse. Amen. I believe that God wants you to do well. Tell your neighbor, I am convinced that God wants you to do well. Amen. And you need to believe it. You need to believe that God wants you to do well. Hallelujah. All right. So last week we were talking about, I think we were in chapter 13 last week, where we began to talk about what Jews believe, you know, about giving. And number one, we mentioned that Jews believe that giving benefits the giver, isn't it? That charitable giving benefits the giver. And we also read the scripture that said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Pastor Manana, can you give us that verse again real quick, please? Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and what? Running over. Hallelujah. Yeah. It says they will pour it into your lap. And we also read a scripture that said that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. It says, it is more blessed, it is a greater blessing, it is a greater advantage. Do you understand? It says, in everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember, tell your neighbor, you must remember what Jesus said. Amen. He said, you must remember, remember what Jesus said. That it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. I don't know what your experience has been. I don't know if you have enjoyed receiving. But if you have enjoyed receiving, then I believe it's time to take the Lord by His words and try how it feels to be on the giving side. Hallelujah. That you are more blessed. You see, let me read it from the Amplified Translation. Have you heard of the Amplified Translation? It's a translation of the Bible. Those of you who have iPads, you can download it for free on the YouVersion site. It's, you can just get it. Now, let me read it to you, verse 35. In everything, I have pointed out to you by example that by working diligently in this manner, we ought to assist the weak, being mindful of the words of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. How he himself said, it is more blessed. You see, then in brackets, he says, it makes one happier and more to be envied. Hallelujah. It makes you more to be envied. Hallelujah. It puts you in a group of people or the category of people who are to be envied. So it means that when we enter a room and then there are two people, one of them gives something to someone and the other one receives it. Often we envy the one who received it. Isn't that the truth? If someone was to step into this room right now and hand over the keys to a car to Chi-Chi, and say that the person says that, you know, I just feel like blessing you with my car. You know, people are going to envy her. What do you think? Yeah, especially all of you sitting behind her. Because you're going to wonder why did the person walk past all of you. Starting from Lady Pastor Quelle at the back. You get it? And you're going to wonder, what did I do? I mean, how come the person walked past me all the way up to the front to give this to Chichi? Do you understand? But the scripture is saying that the person you must envy is not Chichi. Do you understand that? The person you must envy is the giver. It's not the receiver. The person you must, because by that act of coming to bless her with that car, you have no idea of the blessing that the person has entered just by joining the giving side. Hallelujah. You see, the thing about the blessing of her receiving is very easy. We can all see what she has received. She has received a car. And she has received everything a car can ever do or can ever be. Do you understand? Yeah. Including all the problems that you have when you have a car. Hallelujah. She has received all, and we are still envious of her. Amen. But it's not like that with the one who gave. The one who gave, you cannot see her blessings. Are you getting it? You cannot see the blessings of the one who gave. You know, Vicky, can you reverse your card? Which baby is making the noise? The original member. Okay, so Magdalene, can you bring her to the back a little bit? Because if I can hear it, it means it's going in the microphone. Do you understand? So she's going to be on the internet and she'll be everywhere. Hallelujah. All right. So are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. So what I'm saying is then that the Bible says you are more blessed when you give than when you receive. And so the Jews believe that and they join the givers. They prefer to be on the giving side. Hallelujah. And I believe that in this church, we are going to be on the giving side. I tell you, in this church, we're going to have givers. This church is full of givers in the name of Jesus. Say amen. Okay. So the next point is that Jews believe that you must not live beyond your means. Instead, you must give beyond your means. Giving money away makes more come back to you, isn't it? So that's what we've been talking about in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Then number three, they believe also that you must give money and not just do good to do well. Hallelujah. He says, you must give money and not just do good, to do well. So if you want to do well, it's not enough just to do good. Hallelujah. But you must also give money. They actually believe that, look, it's not just do good. Go help somebody. There's a blessing for that. You know, wash his car, clean his house. Yeah, there's a blessing for that. Be kind to someone. Be there for them. They are sick. You know, like Sheila, when Jean was sick, you spent a whole day, you know, just sitting by her, nursing her and helping her out. It's a great gift and it's a great blessing. Do you understand? But beyond that, the Bible says that, or not the Bible, the Jews, they believe that you actually have to give money if you want to do well. Amen. So there are other blessings that come from other things. But to actually do well, they believe that a person needs to give money. Hallelujah. And so they like to give money. And I believe that we are also going to become givers of money. What do you think? Yes, we are all going to be givers of money. Hallelujah. And somebody says, hey, pastor, but I don't have money. You see, this is the thing. That is the thing that takes you out of the blessing, that way of thinking. Hallelujah. Look, no matter what level anyone is, we all can become givers. What do you think? No matter what level anyone is at, we all can become givers. We all can become people who give. We all can become people who support in one way or the other. Hallelujah. The Bible says when it comes to giving, it is accepted according to what a person has. Do you understand? If the person is first willing, let me show you that verse quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Pastor Munene, can you get me that verse in 2 Corinthians? Hallelujah. Are you learning anything today? Wow. Okay. So have you got it? Oh, just give me King James. Is okay. King James version on the which verse? Okay. Let me just tell you. Chapter 9 and verse. Let's start from verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And let's start from verse 4. It says that Macedonians, so I thought you, okay. Let me see. Okay. Okay, chapter 8, I'm sorry, verse 4. Chapter 8. Let's start actually from verse 1. I think it will make more sense, verse 1. Okay? NASB, I think, will be easier to read. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Okay, it says, now brethren, we wish... Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you with me? Okay. Now brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given to the churches of Macedonia. Okay? Then verse 2. For I testify... No, I didn't finish. Okay, I testify that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. Do you understand it? Well, you probably don't understand it, but you don't have to understand. Look at it. There is a great ordeal. There is affliction. Do you understand? And then there's deep poverty. So those are the three bad things happening. But instead, there is abundance of joy, there is overflow, there is wealth, and there is liberality. So if you put the two together, it seems to be saying that someone who was going through difficult times was able to give and experience joy through being liberal. Isn't that what the verse is saying? Okay, so that's how sometimes to understand a verse. When you just, what is it saying? Look for all the big words. What is the big word saying there? And then you get it. So you can see, it says that some people were in a great trial, a difficult time. They didn't have money. They were broke. Do you understand? And yet it says that their deep poverty was actually turned into an abundance of joy through being liberal. Hallelujah. Why? Look at the next verse, verse 3. It says in verse 3, for I testify to their ability, and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. That means nobody forced them. Hallelujah. You should never give because someone is forcing you. Hallelujah. Never give. You don't feel like giving, do not give, because there is no blessing in it. Hallelujah. Next one, it says, they were begging us. Say, begging us. Yeah. They were begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. So what was happening is they were receiving an offering to support the saints or to help the church members or to help the poor or to help the work of God. Hallelujah. And these people who were poor, you see, they probably may have been left out. You know how it is when you know that someone doesn't have, you may ask some people and then you leave him out. You see. Hallelujah. That whatever I have, I should at least be given the opportunity to do what? To give it. Amen. And so that's what it said. They were begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. Amen. And then the next verse, quickly, please. He says, And this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Isn't it? They first gave themselves to the Lord, you know, and to us by the will of God. But the verse I'm looking for is down here. Let me just get it. So we urge Titus that previously, then it says, just as you abound in everything, love, I'm not speaking this command, for you know the grace of God, though he was rich. All right, verse 12 is the verse. Okay, let's look at verse 12 real quick. So we urge, this is verse 6, but I want to go to verse 12. For if the readiness is present, let's read that. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. If the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. Can you see that first? Yeah? So what God is looking for is what? The readiness. Amen. God is looking for the readiness. Hallelujah. It is the readiness that counts. And if the readiness is there, he says it is accepted according to what a person has and not according to what a person does not have. Hallelujah. That is why I'm saying that everyone can be a giver. Amen. Everyone, no matter your income level, everyone can be a giver. And do not allow the mentality, you know, of not having to arrest you and take you, extract you out of the blessed lane. Hallelujah. Don't let anything extract you and take you out of the blessed lane into the less blessed lane. The more blessed lane is what? The giving, isn't it? Not the receiving. The receiving is the less blessed lane. Can I have an amen? All right. So back to the book quickly, please. So the next one, number 4. They believe that being charitable, means making new friends. Hallelujah. It means making new friends. Amen. Now the Bible says a rich man has many friends. Hallelujah. A person who is let's read Proverbs chapter 14. You can see it. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 20. It says, the poor is hated when someone is poor. When you have the poverty mentality, he says, the poor is hated even by his neighbor. Can you see that? But those who love the rich are many. Do you understand that? Those who love the rich are many. That means the rich person has many friends. Hallelujah. The rich person has many friends. Rich person has many friends. Givers or people who have the mentality that, look, I am blessed. I am rich. All of us are rich relative to other people. Is it not true? All of us are rich relative to other people. Hallelujah. All of us are rich. You have a dollar that you don't even count. Some of you, if you have even $1, you won't take it. You won't put it in your wallet. I mean, this is just lying on your dresser. Is it not true that there are quarters found all over your house? Yeah, it's true. Yesterday, I was cleaning up some part of my house by somebody's bed. And then I saw money. I saw a quarter, and I saw a quarter, and then I saw 10 cents also. And then I saw a couple of other cents. They were just lying on the floor. I mean, the person walks by them every day. That's rich. Do you understand? That is rich. Oh, some of you have bottles, and you keep quarters and coins in it. Do you get it? There are some people whose lives cannot afford, they can't afford to keep the bottle. Do you understand? They can't afford it. I mean, you are collecting money. People collect what, ties and clothes and so. You collect money. You get it? The coins have become a collector's item for you. And you just have a bottle sitting on your counter or a cup. And when you come back, you throw your spare change. When you put your coins in there, it means those coins don't make a difference to your life. But there are some people, they can't afford to keep some of their money on display. No! Every penny they have is necessary for living. They need it. Including the bottle itself. Yeah, the bottle has to be recycled. Yeah. The bottle would have been recycled. When you recycle the bottle, they give you, is it 5 cents or something like that? Yeah. 5 cents per bottle. So they need the bottle itself for what it can bring before what it contains. We're not going to store any coins in any bottle. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So all of us are blessed relative to other people. Do you understand? And all of us are rich relative to other people. And the Bible actually says, being rich, it allows you to have friends. It allows you to have contacts. It allows you to have connections. Amen. But thinking like a poor man does not allow. It says that when you think like a poor man, you act like a poor man. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if your mind is, I don't have, you find yourself actually behaving and acting and living the life of a poor man. Hey, Monique, you're really enjoying the preaching. What is she telling you? Because nobody else is laughing, but Monique is laughing. And she's supposed to have told her something that I said. I see. So maybe in English it's not funny, but in French. Can I have an amen? Are you getting what I'm sharing with you, everybody? Amen. And he says, look, you people hear what I'm saying. Acting poor and behaving like a poor person, it hurts you. Do you understand? It says that it causes even your neighbor. Your neighbor is supposed to be someone who is near you. He pretends he doesn't know you. Do you understand? He pretends he doesn't know you. He says that your neighbor, the neighbor of a poor person, even hates him. Do you understand? He sees him as a nuisance. He sees him as a burden. Do you get it? There are some of us who feel that, you know, maybe when you act poor, then people will have mercy on you. You see? So when you see somebody, you just try to, you know, put together your poorest looking face, your most miserable demeanor, and just see your, I don't know how to do it, but your lips are curved this way. You see, it's like a U that is absolutely. And then you have to tilt your head a little bit, you know. So that it's like it's all written on your face. Do you understand? When people see you, they must understand. And then you rest your hands on your bosom like that. Then it's like, I don't have. See, when people are talking and people are looking in a magazine and you don't go near it, you just stand somewhere quiet. It's for rich people. You know, it's for rich people. You see, and so you look needy. Hallelujah. You look needy. Some of us work in places and we feel that the more needy we look, the more the boss will be considerate. Do you understand? Yeah, but you don't understand that. Rather, that puts you in a certain class. It makes him more convinced that actually what he's even doing for you is a great blessing. Do you understand? It makes him think that you don't belong to a certain class. And so even what he's already giving you is probably too much. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. But when you look rich, the Bible says you begin to have many friends. Everybody wants to be the friend of a rich person. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so that is what they believe. They believe that, look, being charitable will bring you new friends. Hallelujah. And it will bring you, it will be a blessing also to you. Then the next one is that they believe that donating is like investing. It increases what comes back to you. Amen. So when a Jewish person is giving money, his mind is not that, you know, I'm giving money away. His mind is that I'm making an investment. Do you understand? Yeah, I'm making an investment. And like all investment, you never know when it's going to come. Do you understand? Yeah. You never know. Look at it. It says that charitable giving is a powerful tool to use in increasing your own income because it helps you train yourself to become an effective investor. It says, if you have the generosity of spirit to give money away, you also have the courage to seek profit by placing your money at risk. Do you see what the mindset is? The mindset is that if you learn to exercise, because they believe that money comes by investment. Do you understand? An investment is always risky. So because investment is risky, many people do not invest at all. Are you getting what I'm saying? So what he believes is that the practice of giving money away is exercising your investment muscles. You get it? You are getting used to parting with money. Do you understand? And because you're used to parting with money, you are more able to take money and place it in an investment. You get it? Because the risk of losing it doesn't scare you. And then because you have taken that risk, you actually get blessed from the returns on the investment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. So that is how it is. They believe that donating is like investing. It increases what comes back to you. Read Ecclesiastes chapter 1, please. 11 verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1. Let's read quite a bit of that chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Hallelujah. It says, cast your bread on the surface of the waters. Can you see that? For you will find it after what? Many days. Cast your bread upon the surface of the waters because you will find it after what? See, this is a chapter about investment. Verse 2. It says, divide your portion to 7 or even to 8, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth. So when you have your fortune or whatever you have, he says, put some here, 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 put some here. 7 places, 8 places. Do you understand? One of the mistakes people make is to bank all their hopes on one thing. Do you understand? You call that putting all your eggs in one basket, isn't it? When the basket is stolen, all your eggs are gone. Is it not the case? Yeah. When you drop the basket, all your eggs are broken. Do you see? But the scripture is saying that you must actually give it to different things. Isn't it? You must give it to different things. It's the same thing with giving. You must give some in the church, give some people, give some different people, different causes, different things. Do you understand? He says, because you do not know what may happen one day. Do you understand? That may cause some of your other investments or some of the things you've done to burn off. Hallelujah. Then verse 3 says, if the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth. And whether a tree falls towards the south or towards the north, wherever the tree falls, there it lies. Next one, verse 4. He who watches the wind will not sow. He who looks at the clouds will not reap. Do you understand? He's saying that a person who watches the wind, if you are just following the wind and the wind is blowing today, so if I put my seed in the ground, something will come and take it away. He says, if you watch the wind, that means if you watch your circumstances, you will not invest. Do you understand that? Yeah. And he says, a person who is watching the clouds, as you are watching the clouds, you think, no, it's going to rain, so I won't go out. Well, the effect of that over the long term is that when it's time for reaping, you will not reap because the clouds and the fear of the rain didn't allow you to sow what you should have sown. Are you understanding the word of God today? Verse 5. Now, verse 5 says, just as you do not know, everybody watch this verse. It says, just as you do not know the path of the wind. Do you know the path of the wind? You don't. Now, this second one. How bones are formed in the womb of a pregnant woman. Do you know how bones are formed in the womb of a pregnant woman? Huh? I would like to know this one in French. What? Huh? Does it start from here? Ni comment se forme? Forme. Forme. Form. Form. Okay. So, ni comment se forme? Les os dans le ventre de la femme enceinte. Enceinte is pregnant, right? Okay. So, you don't know how bones, this one right here, right? Huh? Where is the bone? OS. Ah, short word like that. I'm disappointed. Os? Okay. You don't know how le os dans la ventre. That is, that, what is this, the womb? The stomach. Okay. All right. Dans le ventre de la femme ancienne. Huh? Do you know how os forms in the ventre of the femme lacine? You do not know. No. Don't think about it. You see a normal human being standing and then one day she's pregnant and now bones are formed. You see, and he says that just as you do not know it, so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look, this is the instruction of the word of God. He says that, we started by saying, he said, cast your bread upon the waters. Do you understand? And you will find it after many days. You see, then he says, sow your seed. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at your clouds. If you are looking always at your pocket, looking at your fees, looking at your bills, and so on all the time, you will not sow. And then he says, you don't know also what misfortune is going to come upon the earth. Do you understand? And then he's asking you a question. That's as you do not know the path of the wind. You don't know where the wind, where wind is blowing all the time. But where does it begin? Do you understand? Who knows the origin of the wind? Who knows where the wind begins? None of us does. Are you getting it? But the scripture is saying that just as you don't know the origin of the wind, you don't know how bones are formed in the womb of the pregnant woman, so you do not know the activity of God. You don't know how God is going to take your seed and turn it into something that will bless you and transform your life and change something in your life. You don't know it. Hallelujah. Says God who makes all things. Hallelujah. So verse 6 says, sow your seed in the morning. Can you see that? Then do not be idle in the evening. Do you get it? In other words, when the opportunity comes in the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, sow your seed again if another chance comes. Do you get it? So you gave the last time. Another chance comes, give again. Do you get it? Because he says, for you do not know whether the morning or evening sowing will succeed. Are you getting it? Yeah. Because it's the same thing with investment. You don't know which of them is going to work out. Do you understand? You try this and you try that and you try that. And you don't know whether it's is it the morning seed that will work? Or is it the evening seed that will work? So if you sow the morning and you don't sow the evening, and then the morning one fails, it means that you've had it. Hallelujah. And it says that or whether both of them alike will be good. Because if both of them too are good, then your blessings multiply. Is it not the case? Yeah. You don't know whether the morning or the evening will work. Hallelujah. Then the next verse, verse 7, he says in verse 7, the light is pleasant and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. Hallelujah. Anyway, so I just wanted you to see that. He says their belief is that people must sow, or donating is like investing. Hallelujah. And it increases what comes back to a person. Hallelujah. Then the next one, they believe that people are creators, not consumers, and givers, and not takers. Hallelujah. Now, by the way, this segment of the book is actually a quote. The whole chapter there is actually a quote from a book written by a rabbi. Do you understand? Yeah, it's written by a rabbi. And so this is actually a book written by a Jew explaining what Jews think. They believe that people are creators and not consumers. And people are givers and not takers. You get it? The primary philosophy by which they live is that a person, you are created more, or you do better as a giver than as a taker. That we are created to give and to not use, but rather to create what is used. Are you getting the picture? And he's saying that naturally, once you think of someone in a certain way, you act in accordance with your thoughts. That is why you do not act identically towards all strangers. When encountering a stranger, your mind picks up clues from clothing, conduct, context, and occupation, and draws a conclusion. That's why it's important to dress properly. Is it not the case? Yeah, it's important to dress properly because as you are approaching someone, their mind is actually scanning your personality and your presentation and forming a conclusion that will determine how they treat you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So if you look scruffy and you look like some ruffian who is just approaching them, you see their mind forms a conclusion and then they start to act. Sometimes by just watching their purses, you just think about, they don't even know you. Do you understand? They don't even know you. They've never met you. But you enter the elevator with them, and then they just take one look at you, and then the mind forms a conclusion about you. Do you get it? Based on your hairstyle, based on your clothes and how they look, and even sometimes your posture, the way you are standing, you get it. The whole thing is sending a message. Do you get it? And then they automatically, I mean, even unconsciously, some of them start to wish that the elevator would just go down quickly. Others will just start to watch their person, start to hide it, you know. And then some will get out of the elevator even on the wrong floor. You get it? They don't want to ride 17 floors with this man or this woman. No, it's not going to work. So I'm going to the 17th floor, but on the 10th floor, I'm out. And then I step out of the lift and walk confidently as though I'm going somewhere. When the door shuts, I come back and I press it. Are you getting it? So it says that is what happens. When you think about these things and you act accordingly in your style of greeting and in how you interact with that person. Do you understand? So they're also saying that humans are not takers by nature. Humans do far better as givers. They like to see themselves as givers and they tend to be gracious as givers rather than as takers. So what he's saying is that when you start to think of yourself a certain way, you begin to act that way. When you think of yourself as someone who was created to give rather than someone who was created to take, you start to act that way. And he says giving charity is another way of ensuring that you always see yourself as a giver. Do you see? Rather than as a taker. Your drive is to achieve. You see, when you give yourself as or see yourself as a giver, you have a drive to achieve, you see, and let me just read exactly what is written here. Your drive is to achieve. Your persistence and your very zest for life are all enormously enhanced when you see yourself as a giver rather than a taker. Can you get it? Yeah. Making the act of giving regular charitable donations a life habit is one way to make sure that you view yourself as a giver. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Yeah. He's saying that your zest for life, in fact, if you give something to someone, and especially when the person really likes it, do you not feel the energy that comes into you? That you gave something that seems to make a difference to someone. Hallelujah. It can't be compared with when you receive something from someone. Especially something that you don't like very much. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. You are more energized and more driven when you see yourself as a giver. When you see that something happened because of you. Do you get it? That is why sometimes we say some people boast. Or that is why giving is often associated with, or the sin that is commonly associated with givers is that they like to be seen. Do you understand? Why do they like to be seen? Because a certain good feeling comes over you and you want to be celebrated. Are you getting the picture? So that is why in Romans chapter 12, when the Bible is talking about how people should do their ministries, one of the things it says is that the person who gives must give with simplicity. Because the truth is that when you find yourself as a giver, it brings a certain energy and a certain drive in you that can push you to the wrong side. It can push you all the way to the other side because you see things happening because of you. Before you know, you start telling anybody, you see that lady over there, if it wasn't for me, she would not be in school. Yeah. You see, people don't talk like that when they are takers. No poor person talks like that and says that, you know, you see this person over there, if it wasn't for me, she would not be alive. No, people don't talk like that when they are poor. When people are poor, the poverty mentality sobers you up. That is why people also erroneously. Happened to me? Okay, I'll just finish with this guy. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is why people feel that when you are poor, you are humble. Do you understand? Yeah, do you realize that sometimes the synonym for saying that you are from a poor background is just to say I'm from a humble background? How many have heard that before? Yeah, when someone wants to say I'm from a, if you don't want to say poor, you say, I'm from a humble background. Yeah. You see, because people feel that poverty is humility. Because poverty has a way of making you act like a humble person. You see, the effect of poverty on a person is similar to the effect of humility on a person. So when people see poverty, so you see someone, sometimes people marry somebody who didn't have anything and was very humble, and they marry him and say, he was very, very humble, very good. You see, then suddenly the person comes into money and then he changes. Do you get it? And he says, I don't know what has come over him. No, his true colors are now showing. True colors that had been subdued by not having anything. Yeah. You see, when people don't have money and they say, okay, we're discussing, we want to go, the church wants to go and rent a new place in such and such a place. You see, well, those who don't have money, to just be there. It's like any place you take the church, we will come. You get it. But you see the rich ones. No, we want it in Fremont. No, it has to be in Fremont. No, no, it should be in Auckland. No, another one. Look, we shouldn't move from, we should just be here. It's the wealth, having something, and the seeing yourself as a giver, because at that point, even your mentality is that this move by the church actually depends on me. You see, and the fact that it depends on you, just that feeling, it gives you a certain drive and energy and zest for life that turns you into an achiever rather than someone who's waiting for someone to give something to. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So you are far more advantaged and you are far more blessed to be on the giving side than to be on the receiving side. I tell you, being a receiver will just shut you down. It will shut down your ideas. It will shut down your contributions. If some of you have bright ideas, you won't even say it. You can't say it because you feel that ideas from such a person are not welcome. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you very clearly? Yeah. But I tell you that when you see yourself as a giver, it will send you out. It will even give you confidence to apply for certain jobs. Yeah, because it helps your overall personality and presentation. You find yourself standing in places because you feel you deserve it. You feel you can. They may not have anybody of the same color as you being there, but you don't feel that that is a disqualifier. You feel that, well, maybe they're not others but me. I can do it. They can take me. Why not? And you find yourself stepping in places and trying things and giving yourself a chance at things that others have already excluded themselves because they thought that they were poor. And so that whole, you know, wrapped up, folded up, you know, they even look depressed. So when you see them, you ask them, are you okay? You say, poor people often get asked, are you okay? Are you okay? You see, and then rich people often, rather we are surprised when we find out that they are unhappy. Is it not true? Yeah. You see, when you see a rich, or hear that a rich person committed suicide or something, you just wonder, who? Why? Because he has everything. You see, because you can't match his level of energy and drive and zest for life with what he has just done. What he has done is that's something done by people who are or who do not have, or people who are despondent and people who do not have that kind of drive and energy for living. Hallelujah. Right. So let me share with you these things, three things quickly, and we close. The last thing I want to mention, it says three Jewish principles that lead to the path of prosperity. Number one, three, that is when Jews are given. This is how their mind is working. Number one, they say that don't try to find a rational reason for giving away money. Do you get it? Don't try to find a rational reason for giving away what? Money. You see, it says charity is irrational. Nevertheless, it benefits the giver in many ways. You give money away not because it is rational, but because it is right. Do you get it? You give money not because it is rational, but because it's right. That is how come you can give to someone who has even more than you. Do you get it? See, some of our pastors are doctors. Some of the pastors of our churches are doctors. Now, on Galatians 6:6 Sunday, you know, when we have pastors' appreciation and so on. You get it? there are a whole lot of their church members whose reasoning goes this way, that he's a doctor. He has money, doesn't need anything from me. You get it? So they'll just buy a card and say, praise the Lord, pastor. Thank you for preaching. That is it. You get it? But there are some wise ones. And so sometimes when I hear some of their stories, I get surprised. That really, so this person actually gave you this. And I get surprised. But it's a reflection of the spirituality of the person who gave. Do you understand? Because I'm surprised that someone who has a job and maybe is just barely making it can take money and put it in an envelope and give it to a doctor who is obviously not in need of that money. But they are fulfilling a spiritual principle. And the basis of their giving is just that it is right, period. Hallelujah. Yeah. Somebody said the other day, Mike Murdoch, he said that you give to the poor for health. But if you want to prosper, you must give to the rich. Yeah, he says you give upwards for wealth and you give downwards for health. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Can I have an amen? So, anyway, then the second reason or second mentality for giving is that give money away because it is one of the most powerful and effective ways of increasing your own income. That's the second mentality. And here we're talking about the investment concept, isn't it? Yeah. And here he's saying that you can also, when you give, I told you the rich man has many friends, isn't it? And so you get contacts and so on that can help one way or the other to be a blessing to you. Number three is keep in mind that giving money away is like investing. Pastor, can you take it up? Giving money away is like investing, right? And he's saying that in the case of charity, you give away money with the idea that it may come back to you in plentiful returns, but perhaps it may not. There are no guarantees. Then he says the same is true of investing money and your effort in your own enterprise. Your investment may one day produce great returns. However, it is just possible that nothing will come out of it, but you should do it anyway. Giving away money keeps your investment muscle fully exercised. Do you understand? And ready for opportunity. You see, so what he's saying is, if you get used to the art of giving money away, you know, you get used to the art of investing. And surely one day, a great opportunity will come your way. And because you've been doing it, you will now do it and take advantage of it. But someone who is not used to it, when a great opportunity comes your way, you will not even be able to take advantage of it because you're not used to exercising your muscle, isn't it? It's like someone who doesn't exercise, you see, or who doesn't exercise much. Then one day you realize you have to run. Do you understand? Has it happened to you before that you had to run and when you started to run, you realize you're dying? Hey, it's not easy. You see, running at the airport to the gate. Hey, should I die or fly? Yeah, and I've seen sometimes some people will just give up. Let the plane go. Hey, let the plane go. Let the plane leave me. Let it just leave me. Hey, and then they go and they sit down. Who? Is it still there? Is it still there? Huh? I'm not going on that flight. Yeah, I'm gonna miss it. Yeah, they're gonna miss the flight. Yeah. Because they didn't know they were so unhealthy. It's because you were not exercised getting ready for that day. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then finally, there's a beautiful testimony here that I think we should read. Look at the Jewish testimony. I'm telling you, all this is from, this is not written by Bishop. This is from another person's book. Do you understand? Just Bishop obtained permission to quote it. Because it fits very nicely here. It says, Hannah Bandis worked as a professional storyteller, using her dramatic skills to excite both children and adults about Jewish history and traditions. To drum up business, she developed a mailing list of synagogues and religious schools to which she sent regular advertising mailings. Her very first paid job was for a local synagogue. She describes it as having been such an embarrassing disaster that she removed that institution's address from her future mailings, knowing that it would never hire her again. Hannah said, "The life of an artist can be precarious, and besides telling stories, I did temporary work to make ends meet. Every month I paid my bills, but sometimes it was a real struggle." How many can identify with this? Yeah, that sometimes it was a real struggle. She said, "I knew of the Torah rule." The Torah is the Old Testament, the Jewish set of scriptures. It says, "I knew of the Torah rule about tithing from my earnings. But in my financial position, I didn't see how I could possibly give 10%. I rationalized that since I was performing Jewish charitable organizations, or performing for Jewish charitable organizations, I was given time instead of money." Do you understand? One day, somebody told me, "Pastor, as for me, I don't pay tithe." And I asked him why. He said, "You see the bass guitar I play in the church? That's my tithe." He said, "The bass guitar I play in the church, that's my tithe." You know, obviously that's how this lady is thinking. She said she was thinking that, look, as I was performing for Jewish charitable organizations, I was giving time instead of money. Then one evening, she found herself inspired by a speaker who explained the value of tithing from one's income. On the spot, she decided she would donate to charity 10% of the fees from her very next storytelling job, which is exactly what she did. A few days later, Hannah received a phone call from the synagogue where she had given that first miserable performance. The woman on the phone said, "We built a new sanctuary and we will be dedicating it. Will you tell stories at our dedication? I'm afraid all we can offer is X amount of dollars." The lady on the phone told Hannah, mentioning a fee that was far higher than she could have asked. A coincidence perhaps, but Hannah believes not. That wasn't the only job that came in unexpectedly. Within weeks of deciding to give away 10% of my storytelling income, that income doubled. And the principle has proven to be true in the ensuing years. As long as I tithe, my freelance income is reliable. If I forget it, it dries up. Wow. This is the experience of a Jewish person. Like I said, if you can see, look there. Can you see the number 19? Small number 19 after up. Can you see that? It means if you go to the back of the book, you will see number 19 and you see the book where it comes from. And you see at the back of your book, you see lots of notes, and you see that all these things are Jewish literature, Jewish books, and things that have been quoted from. Hallelujah. So anyway, I hope you understand the message I just shared, and I hope you get the concept that you need to see yourself as a giver rather than a receiver. You will do far better as a giver than a receiver. Are you following what I'm saying? In life, you will come across many opportunities where you'll be offered the chance to take rather than give. If we say, "Next Sunday, please, everyone bring some food to church," you know everybody will bring. So you can even choose not to bring and come and eat what others brought. Because those who are bringing will need people to eat them anyway. You get it? So you can immediately choose. But the scripture is saying that you are helped. Even though you have that option, choose the other option instead. Because that helps you far more than choosing the option of coming to be a taker. So I pray that we will all rise up in this church to become givers. Amen. Starting from your tithe. Hallelujah. Starting from your tithe. You don't really give if you are not giving your tithe. It's if I owe you money or you owe me money. Do you understand? Okay, let's say I owe you money. Or which one? No, you owe me money. Because I want to be on the blessed side. Hallelujah. Right. So you owe me money. You owe me $100. And you have not paid that. But when you see me, you say happy birthday and you give me $10. Well, what am I supposed to do with that? What about the $100? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. That look, you owe me money. You are not. I prefer that you give me my $100 and not give me a birthday present. Don't you think so? Yeah. But when you see me, you say, "Hey, brother or pastor, hello, pastor. Okay, happy birthday." Then you give me $20, and you don't say anything about the $100, and you just walk away. That is how it is. When you don't, your giving does not begin until you've given your tithe. After you've paid your tithe, then you don't owe God his money. Then you can now begin your free will offering after your tithe. Hallelujah. But I believe that God would rather that you pay your tithe and even give no free will offering than the opposite. Give a free will offering, but you don't pay your tithe. Hallelujah. It's not a blessing for you. It's not a blessing. I pray that God will open your eyes and your heart to understand the message and to understand the things he's been saying these last few weeks concerning giving. That we are Abraham's seed if we are in Christ, and we are heirs according to the promise. May the blessings of Abraham come upon everyone in the name of Jesus. May every poverty mentality die in the name of Jesus. And may a new spirit of generosity and a new mentality of the giver descend upon the people of God in this congregation in the name of Jesus. May we be a congregation that thinks about giving. May we be a congregation that sees that we are blessed. May we be a congregation that understands that relative to other people, we are blessed, and we are far more blessed. And from whatever level, we can always join the givers, because if there is a readiness of mind, it is accepted according to what a person has and not what they do not have. Father, we thank you for your blessing today in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity to give. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us. Thank you for opening our eyes to the truth about giving in the name of Jesus. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Bless people with jobs, better jobs. Grant them favor, oh God. Every favor they need on the job, every favor they need from anyone that has the power to be favorable towards them in the name of Jesus. Anyone whose favor could make a difference in their life, Lord. Father, bless them, oh God, with favor with that person in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah.